Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Something just happened, and I can see the magic words flying over Chicago. Six magic words. They form a blue thread, a royal blue thread, weaving across the city and in all its neighborhoods, except, you know, some on the south side, and hands of generations touch it. That generations of Cub fans, past and present, the uncle that taught you how to keep score, the dad that took you to Wrigley for that first day in June when you saw the thrill of the grass and the green of the ivy, and some old timer in a straw hat was telling my brother Peter not to rip on Ron Santo. This is a magical time because the six words you never thought you'd say are finally here. What are those six words? Jeff Carlin, do you know?
Cubs win.
The Cubs win the World Series. Hashtag Cubs win, hashtag win. It is just a remarkable thing that happened. It took us all out of our usual doldrums. What a great series. John Cass, mild-mannered columnist and reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Jeff Carlin, executive producer of the Roe, Con, and Anna show on WGN. Later, we're going to have our spiritual sister, Kristen McQuarrie, from the editorial board. But right now, we're talking Cubs. And how did you deal with it?
Oh, my God, John. I was pacing. I was so excited. And once the game comes up, you know, what is it, 5-1, 4-1, whatever it was.
You thought it was over.
And I'm like, I turned to Christine. I'm watching it on our couch at home. The cat's around us. And I was like, you know,
that's why I took my Sudafed this morning.
Sorry, John.
I just can't stand cats anyway. Go ahead. Yeah. Love you still.
And I just said to her, I said, you know, if they blow this, it'll be history. It'll be what we expect because it's the Cubs fans where we live this. So we won't be out of character. But I said this out
every
loud.
Every Cub fan thought this is perfect to blow.
Right.
So it'll reinforce the whole Cubs loser
right.
thing.
It'll be on par. That's right.
The greatest collapse in the history.
And then, but they won't because this team is awesome. They're too good. It's not going to happen. But it could. That's what I said. And that's how nervous I was seeing all of it. And then it got close. And then it got closer. And then it was tied going into the ninth, and I was like, oh, my God, what the hell?
Then you had the old-timer, the grizzled catcher who makes the error, comes in and hits the home run. And the guy who can't hit, who's making $180 million for 8 years, the right fielder, who hold the reins open up. They have a timeout. Do you ever have a timeout? Well, they have a timeout, and they have a meeting. This is what all the – I love it how the broadcast guys are all on the meeting.
Right.
Because that's how they think, meetings, right? So it's like meeting. So there was a meeting.
Called by your overpaid probably.
You know, the guy everyone hates.
Right.
And he calls it, and they have a meeting, and they have a pep talk. And the Aroldis Chapman stops crying, and Javi Baez quits freaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie, okay? this is like, you know, just out of the natural, this whole thing, you know, it's just perfect, perfect. And but here's my question, because we're coming to people not live but podcast. How long are we going to have to put up with it? I'm just saying, I love the Cub fans. I wrote my Cub fan love on Facebook. You saw it. You had your Joe Buck to kick around. We kicked Joe Buck around with a beautiful
pizza to the face.
Pizza to the face Joe Buck video. I'm happy for you, Cub fans. I'm so happy for you, because especially my brothers, Pete and Nick, who never gave up. They were down 3-1. I'm going to Wrigley to cover the game Sunday night, elimination game. Mm-hmm. Pete says, we're going to win this thing. We're going to win.
I love it.
And he didn't give up. And Nick, too. Nick said, if you were told as a Cub fan years ago when they stunk that you could get into the series only if you were down 3-1 with the elimination at Wrigley and your best pitcher's coming up in the next 3 games. Would you take the deal? He said every Cub fan would take the deal. And I have to say every Sox fan would take the deal, too. We're going to have the parade. We're going to have the politicians climbing on. We're going to have Hillary Clinton on which was the most treacly crappy thing I've seen, on the Today Show or one of those suck-up shows, showing Hillary Clinton's happiness with the Cubs. I couldn't believe it. They're like, oh, they're doing like an ad for Hillary about how much she loves the Cubs. I thought she was a Yankees fan.
Yeah, I thought she was a New Yorker. That,
right? She said, I'm a lifelong Yankees fan from Park Ridge, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay, there's a lot of excess. All I'm saying is, when do we start ratcheting it down? My kid, Spiro, my son, said, when is this going to be over? And I looked, I texted him, never. This is going to go on forever and ever.
Next year has a whole new meaning, John. Wait till next year.
It won't end, will it? We're just going to have, we'll be awash in Cubs lore, mm-hmm. Cubs love, goat soup, everything.
Lots of goat soup.
Did you ever make it?
I've never made goat soup.
It's just like making a broth.
I imagine.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've handled the goat, and I've had some goat at your house. Or was it lamb?
I serve lamb at my house for Easter. I don't serve the cloven hoof on the resurrection of the Lord.
My bad, sorry.
Okay, sorry. Although I guess you could, but it's God's creatures anyway. And speaking of God's creatures, mm-hmm. so is Chris Bryant and Rizzo. When he picks up the grounder and he's smiling
mm-hmm.
and throws it for the final out.
He's so giddy.
And I'm thinking, does anybody remember Juan Uribe going into the hole in short at Houston? No.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers. We're the redheaded stepchild of Chicago. No one remembers the Sox now.
It's only day one, John.
It's only day one. Look, I'm happy for
it. I know.
All right. But, I mean, it's just, it's going to, I know that sooner or later, I'm going to fly into this uncontrollable rage by myself in the car. One thing I want to rage on now. Okay, all you guys who never played baseball and women who never played baseball, who never were an athlete, you know, the closest you got to sports was maybe keeping stats at a high school game. You're all ripping on Joe Madden for what his manager decisions? Give me a break.
I know.
Come on, man.
I know.
Right? I mean, they're ripping on Madden, like, oh, you should have left him in. What is that?
How many wins did they come out with? And it's 103?
103 wins, you know. Great manager, like the Sage, kept these guys going, put a team together. Managing is what? You think it's stats and moving a guy in and out? No.
Right.
It's managing men. It's managing human beings
mm-hmm.
to get them to perform over time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
And you look at the
they're
talent.
All experts.
The talent on this team is
guys fatter great. Than me talking about like what you know he should have done. That makes me laugh.
I know it's it comes to, like in 03, like they had all that talent and they should have gone to the World Series.
But they weren't a likable team, were they?
Right, and they weren't well managed. I mean, they had a lot of egos on that team that couldn't be controlled or managed.
The one had an ego so large that Flintstone Vitamins, I think, enlarged
doubled
the size of his head.
Right, doubled his hat size. He had him. You had
Mark Pryor, baby cry baby on the mm-hmm. mound. Come on.
Soriano.
And what about Mr. Tough Hands?
Oh, yes.
In the left field.
Right, exactly.
Mr. Interesting, I don't even want to.
You guys had an interaction. I mean, you were close to him once during an interaction.
I wasn't that close to him. I was closer to what happened later.
Well, right.
And, okay, so in the final game, Wrigley Field. People are tweeting to each other. I see a tweet from an old editor, a friend of mine, Kerry Luft. He's tweeting to Anne-Marie Lipinski, the former editor of the Chicago Tribune, and he says, is Cass at the game? And then they had this discussion about, oh, we took him to game whatever, the Bartman game,
right.
And then, you know, please don't let him be at the game. I'm not going to go to Cleveland for this. I'm happy for you. Relax, everybody. It's over now. Can we put it away?
No. I think hopefully.
We got to bring this poor little doggy out to pet it every 5 seconds now?
I was hoping that the Cubs would secretly sneak him in to, like, either the Cleveland or if, mm-hmm. you know, if they had had him and if they were in a chance right. to put it away at home. Just sneak him in. Like, no fanfare. Don't tell anybody. Just because, you know, he doesn't want the attention. They don't want, you know, they're not going to say, well, we're not doing this for the attention. We're doing this for you. Because we feel that you should get to be here and experience this. And that, I wish that story is out there. I don't think it is, but, you know, because everyone would rip the Cubs if they announced it and made this big thing about it. Oh, look, we're
bringing
it.
They should have had him throw the pitch for the ceremonial pitch at Wrigley. They didn't do it because they're scared.
I don't think you want to do that.
And now they should. Now, next, the opening day, they should have Bartman throw the pitch. Because it's really a fans thing.
Right.
And have Bartman throw the pitch and have everybody love Bartman and let it go and just let this poor guy have all the love wash all over him. Because mm-hmm. that's what will happen.
Exactly. I think he should be on the parade. I think he should be the grandmaster.
Okay, the Budweiser Clydesdales were kept in Morton Grove, a source tells me, days before the final game in Cleveland. So they were here, apparently. And that if that's not jinx material, like you're ready for the parade even though they haven't won the game, and you bring your horses that are crapping like, I don't know, they have crap as big as Joe Madden himself, like falling all over Morton Grove, these gigantic Clydesdales. That kind of almost could have been a jinx material.
No jinxes here, John.
It's over. The Cubs have won. Okay. I'm happy for you. I really am. I'm happy for all Cubs fans. I'm happy for the city because we needed a break. In the middle of all this, we had the most violent weekend in our city's history. 17 dead, I think. 15 dead. Shot.
Shot, yeah.
Shot dead. I mean, it's...
Six overnight.
Six.
Nice St. Matthew Cubs won. Yeah. I mean, just after the St. Matthew Cubs won.
It was a warm day. So the city gets numb, becomes numb to this tragedy. And this kind of thing, the Cubs, helps people feel again, uh-huh. I think it's good. But all good things, like my uncle Aristotle used to say, all good things in moderation, okay? Don't be Falstaff about your joy, because then you'll be too big to put on the skinny jeans like me. All right, so anything else you want to say about the Cubs?
No, John, I think you wrapped it up there. Here, let's go out on our Cubs talk here, because Kristen should be joining us here in a second.
Oh, yeah.
With this the Harry Carey thing.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Someday, the Chicago Cubs are going to be in the World Series, and maybe sooner than we think.
Hello again, everybody. Harry Carey of Cleveland. It's such a pleasure to see you, especially on a noteworthy night indeed. The Cubs 3 outs away from winning. Boy, if you've got a weak heart, turn the set off.
Come on, boy.
The rest of you stay with us. The crowd quiet. Now ready. The pitch. Bouncing ball. There's a throw. He is out. Cubs win. Yeah. Cubs win. They have been Cubs of the champion. The Cubs of the champion. Look at that boxing. Holy cow. You talk about a mass of happy humanity.
Possible is possible. The unbelievable is believable.
This is Harry Carey. So long, everybody.
Joining us now is a great journalist wearing the appropriate black colors Kristen McCleary from the Chicago Tribune editorial board. Awesome shirt there.
Thank you. I was going to wear black pants too, but I didn't want to overdo my day of mourning.
Are you mourning, really? Just admit it. Just be honest. Who listens to this anyway? Come on.
You know what? I'm actually 100% bipolar about it. I did not want them to lose. We're talking about the Cubs. I didn't want them to lose, but I wasn't sure I wanted them to win. But then last night when they did win, I was very excited for them. And I find myself getting choked up reading stories about, you know, David Ross and watching them carry him off the field. And it's impossible to not kind of catch the fever a little bit. But I was...
Yeah, it is. It's really possible not to catch it. But you can still tip your hat and say, we love you and you're awesome. And
they played great baseball.
Yeah,
and I like to watch aggressive, good baseball. And so it's been such a pleasure to watch these games, even though I've kind of been back and forth on who I was rooting for.
You're really going to root for the Indians?
She's a South Sider.
That's why I'm asking the question.
I wasn't rooting for them, but at different points when they totally shut the Cubs down, I was like, yes. Does that mean I was rooting for them?
See,
I was like,
A
boom,
B.
Boom.
I wanted the Cubs to win. I did.
Yeah.
I want the Cubs to win because I wanted to prove to myself that I'm a better human being than I think I am. And also because
I've got the humanity.
And I have two brothers who are Cubs fans. I almost wanted to lock my mom in the basement, though, because... Because she used to be a Sox fan all through 2005 and everything with the kids. Then she just flipped like a year ago.
Uh-huh. She's one of those bandwagon types.
You know what I mean? 87 years old. I think I'm just going to lock her down there.
I don't want to disparage
with
your
hot
mom.
With the hot plate and the 100 pounds of potatoes. Just make potato salad and just stay
what
there.
What do your boys call her?
Yaya.
Yaya?
Yeah.
Yaya.
It's Greek for grandmother.
Oh,
Yaya,
you can't lock actually. Yaya in the basement, John. That's
you can't?
Just unkind.
She's very sweet.
She comes out and with a Greek yogurt, you know?
Right.
Great yogurt, by the way, that recipe.
You dress like you are the wife. Not the hot. No, she doesn't have an accent. One of my favorite commercials, though, is some guy, the yogurt commercial where the mean Yaya comes out of the basement and says, some guy's making lunch for the kids and his wife. And she says, you stay home and your wife works? So you are the wife?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
that's going to be a big hit in the Hillary Clinton America that we're about to step into.
We're not there yet. We're in the Cubs World Series America, John.
You know, I have
You know what? He'll never let this crap go.
Oh,
I've had it now. Downstairs, tell people what they're doing.
It's barely been 12 hours. Come on.
All right, I did it now.
The Tribune
I bled for you.
See?
I'm going back.
Come on, we have to be nice. But they're selling all kinds of Cub, like the front page. You can get a plated front page of the Tribune today. So we have a line out the door of all of these people in their blue shirts and their blue hats.
Sounds like all the executives back when we owned the team.
Yes.
They would send their secretaries down to get it.
Right. Them. Yes, I'm sure I'm sure that still happens. I have to, your column on when, you know, all of these media outlets forgot about the 2005 and my own editorial board.
My own department.
They wrote a Cubs editorial and they talked about all the championships throughout all the sports teams and they forgot the White Sox and had to run a clarification.
So did I. And right at the moment I think there was just going to be a web special because I've been doing a lot of those now where you just write a shorter 500 word. No, I think maybe we ran the whole thing. And just as the editor was going to push the button and put it on the internet, another editor, Mark Jacob, the Metro editor, said, wait, didn't the editorial board diss the Sox too?
So you forgot this?
You had
to include us in your roundup.
Of course.
Yes,
otherwise,
I know.
Otherwise, like our, you know, the left-wing media critics who hate the Tribune would like attack me for being not a Hillary lover and a Sox ignorer.
So that soured
me. Rigged.
Then I it's rigged.
They are.
That soured me for all the rest of the games basically until last night because it just really, really made me angry and upset. And you know, to all the Cubs fans who don't get us and our resentment, it just there you go.
We're the deplorables.
We're the deplorables.
Baseball.
You want me to root for your team, but you can't even remember that my team won a World Series, you know, 11 years ago.
And not only won it, four complete games.
Sweep!
Sweep of the World Series.
Sweep and of the Astros!
11-1 in the postseason and striking out Big Poppy with the curveball. That day when we did that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And beating Boston in the playoffs, I come out of my seats and I see Johnny and Rich Daly.
Oh, uh-huh.
And we're like jumping up and down like mm-hmm. kids, and we kind of hugged each other a little bit till we realized what we're doing.
And then you
Maggie,
were like, whoa.
Maggie was looking at me like, I'd like to stick an ice pick in his head.
Speaking of man touching stuff, what is with the groin high five?
I don't know.
That was weird. That is so ridiculous.
I was disappointed about
that. Was that real?
David
Ross did it to Chapman, was it?
Everybody, the whole team. When he went into the dugout, he was...
The groin touch.
Yeah, they were tapping cups.
Are the Cubs like so super he-men, securing their masculinity, that they do the groin touch?
I mean, touching groins like that I don't understand the butt slap.
I don't understand
the butt slap either. We were talking about the Olympics this past year. Volleyball, like indoor volleyball, girls slapping each other, like aggressively slapping each other in the butt. I'm like, what? And they're wearing these tight little shorts, so it's like, that something's bad's going to happen here. I'm like, this is not good.
Who loved it?
I remember the
you
first
time. You loved it.
I mean, it's... The first time, the 13-year-old boy in me loved it.
I took my 13-year-olds to some hitting cage. It was like at the Max, and they were going to do some indoor hitting, and they saw the high school. They were like 12. They saw the high school volleyball girls practicing.
Oh.
That was it. What's with those shorts, by the way?
I don't understand.
They're not even shorts.
They're not even shorts.
They're not required to wear them.
Two-inch shorts, girls?
I don't get that. But
anyway, what is with the groin touch?
Oh, yeah, that was weird. So bizarre.
That's worth a column, right?
Yes.
Oh, for
please,
sure.
Please, please.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Did Pauly Konerko ever touch
Scotty
Pasednik's groin?
And also Chris Sale would never pose naked in a desert. Who did it?
Arrieta.
That was weird, too. But that was like kind of like a Jim Morrison, like the Doors, Indian Naked Desert thing, right? Wasn't it?
Well, it was part of the body issue that ESPN does. So it's
every year they every do year a body issue. And
oh, to make up for the fact that they have hot chicks in swimsuits,
I guess.
You know,
objectifying these players, so right? Sexist.
No, man. You know what, though? Maybe I'm an old fuddy-duddy misogynist.
What do you mean, maybe?
Maybe.
Hi-o.
If I say men should not touch each other's groin, does that make me a hater of something? I would say it. Don't do that.
A hater of being patsies, maybe. Go ahead and be a hater on that. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
There are some stories you'll get. You should write a column on it that kind of explain the history of it, but it's just so silly.
I don't understand it either.
And you want me to love this team,
there
Jeff
was another
Conlon,
I don't want you
when
to
they
love.
Are like grinding on each other after plays. It's wrong.
There was another thing. When they gave up the lead, okay, there was one thing I thought of. I have to say, even though I'd written my Cubs, I love you Cubs fans, and I do, and I'm happy for my... I didn't say this to my brothers, because on the family brother text, I did not dare say it. But when they gave up the lead in the home run, I wanted to say these two words. Black Phillip, we're your servants too. You know that song?
No.
That's a song sung by the two little pilgrim girls in the movie The Witch, when the evil black goat takes over the family and destroys them. You never
but
saw
you
The Witch?
I don't think I did.
Well, it just came out a couple of years. Do not let the children see that movie.
Oh, it's a recent movie?
It's recent, yeah.
Okay.
What do you think? It's like with Peter Cushing?
Yes. Since you're talking about it, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
okay, yeah. Old timey. You don't like men touching their groins together, you old-fashioned guy?
Seriously, such a fuddy-duddy.
What is with that?
I don't know. 2 points. I'm disappointed that we didn't get our air raid sirens last night. None of that. I'm disappointed. I'm glad it happened for the Sox, but sad. Didn't happen for us.
You mean the city did air raid sirens?
Well, the area where the emergency alert, the tornado sirens. When the
In
Sox
59.
won. 59. And it didn't
scared everybody because the fire commissioner Quinn pulled the air raid sirens, and then right before the Cuban Missile Crisis, everyone thought we were
going to have a nuclear war. Story.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm disappointed we didn't get ours. And two, my dad was on an airplane during that game.
Listen to this.
So my dad and my mom are going to Iceland. They are in Iceland now, and then they're taking the Queen Mary 2 to London. Very sweet trip. They booked it a couple months ago. When they booked it, dad's like, our plane leaves on November 2nd. That's a possible game 7. What the hell? And he's like, I'm not going to go. I'm like, dad, go. It'll be a great trip. You know, don't worry about it. Game 7.
They're
what are the
odds?
Lose. Yeah, they might not make it that far. It's not jinx anything. And sure enough, my dad's flight took off at like 7:30 last night.
Oh my gosh.
To Iceland.
Did they get
Icelandic
to watch the
air.
Game?
I don't think he did because I don't think they had TVs on the plane.
I hope those oysters are worth it.
I know.
Gosh, I bet he's heartbroken.
He was.
I mean, happy that they won, though.
Right.
It would be worse to step off the plane and realize
he's
that
so
they were
impressed.
Losing.
He was. All week, he's been, before leaving, and then last week, he's like, I can't believe this.
We wrote an editorial about that, of all the plans people made. There was a wedding last weekend of a former Tribune person, and so everyone was crowded around the television. They kept calling it the two names of the bride and groom, and then dash Cubs wedding. people made plans and had to break them.
Poor dad. A lifetime of Cubs loving, and now he's like, those beautiful oysters, Icelandic seafood, he's like, to hell with it. Right
now, he missed it. Cubs are in the World Series. He missed it.
I hope they have Chicago-style hot dogs in Iceland.
I have my doubts.
Get back! You should stop that!
Something else to get into.
Okay. All right.
Which is, if you believe as I do. Oh, first of all, I got it. Let's correct the record because I got a lot of people around here upset with me.
You did.
And I'm talking about at the Tribune.
Yes.
They were so upset that they were busy scurrying away, writing columns at their column, correctives. It was like having verbal suppositories.
Because you asked in a column, you said that Hillary should step down.
I said Democrats should say, Hillary, step down because you're going to be indicted. You know, you're a criminal. You're going to be indicted. You're going to make a whole Nixonian thing. And look what's happening, all right? So the counterargument is, if you don't like her, you're a hater, and somehow you're mentally ill, and you're making this stuff up.
Oh, you got dumped on big time.
Right? There are people that were
here.
Angry. Mm-hmm. That's really too bad. I don't mind that. But what I do mind is having a president of the United States who is either a vulgarian buffoon or
a criminal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to kind of go on the hierarchy of what's of wrongs here, no?
But don't you want the historic significance of both Clintons potentially being impeached?
That would be
good. I mean, that would be, you know, one for the record books.
Well, and I think of that. There's your angle.
You could have, now, seriously, though, the WikiLeaks keep coming out. We know that one of the top guys in the Justice Department was emailing his buddy, John Podesta, about information that was coming out about Benghazi years ago. And then we find out this fellow, Kasich, he is in charge of the Clinton investigation for the Justice Department. How does that happen? Is the United States of America run like a corrupt city hall in the time of the dailies?
I mean, if you thought the FBI and justice were untouchable, you're wrong. I mean, they politics infiltrates everything. We saw that with the IRS targeting of conservative groups.
Which still goes on, by the way.
Which still goes on. And I'm just, so I went back and looked at the original story about Hillary Clinton's emails that the New York Times broke in March of 2015. And and the original story just makes it sound like she's using a private email address. They don't even get into the whole server issue. And it's amazing to me the slow drip that that story has taken to get us to this point where we are a week out, not even, of
days,
the election,
days
away. And we still are getting more information about the email scandal that is, I mean, can you imagine from the beginning to now what the campaign has been doing to quash this story?
Everything.
Everything.
And they have friends in the media who are saying, we'll be okay, we'll be cool. They have Donna Brazile running interference at CNN. They have other reporters offering to have their copy vetted by the Clinton Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on in this? And then people are upset. And what happens when they get upset? You just call them deplorable fools or crazy.
Right. You just keep deflecting and talking about Trump and how he treats women. That's
right.
That's her
Which
pivot.
Which is legitimate criticism of Trump. I don't want to call him Mr. Trump like I'm kissing his butt. Of Trump. It's a legitimate criticism.
The Donald.
But is it the only criticism to make? Is bad boorish behavior equal to potential
huge cover-up,
criminal cover? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking the kings of Morocco and millions of dollars, and the Secretary of State leveraging or allegedly leveraging government so that her husband can make big speeches and
right.
make big scores, right?
And all the email that we're now going to get because of Anthony Weiner. I mean, good Lord. I hope there's
so
going to be the tell-all book. I can't wait for the tell-all book. And I'm going to predict that Anthony Weiner's going to be the one to write it because he will have no career, you know, maybe in making porno movies or something, but he will write the tell-all
book.
By
himself. Sorry. Elderly.
You know the Amish texter, I think.
Yes.
And he had a really funny text, like, how disappointed is the FBI going to be when they comb through 650,000 new emails of his and 599,000 of them are of Anthony Weiner's penis.
Viagra.
But it is. I mean, it's a statement to what Christian was talking about earlier, how this, the drip, drip, drip. And now we're interested. America's interested because this corruption with Clinton's is connected to Anthony Weiner's membership, right? And now it's become
so disturbing.
Membership in the Club of Deplorable Men?
Yes, apparently so. But now you have the salacious. So you can have the salacious for the TMZ people. And, you know, the we and Huma. And then you have, like, the little picture where they're Huma and Hillary wear the same outfits. Right? You know what I mean?
I have to laugh or I'll cry.
Oh my
God. I should have known that there's just, you know, every time there's a new low, the floor drops and there's another new low.
How do you defend her? I'm amazed that people defend her. How can you defend this?
I think people who defend Hillary Clinton are only at the surface understanding what this is all about. They're not connecting the dots that this is a huge cover up, that they've lied multiple times. That Huma had all these different hands in different cookie jars.
Spies?
You know.
Who knows? Right? You don't know.
We should know more than anyone in this state what these quid pro quos look like.
This is how it works.
And this is how it works. And the investigation into the Clinton Foundation, I mean, all of that. And Bill Clinton taking $250,000 for speeches, pocketing all that money.
And,
this stinks.
And
I mean,
what Brett Baer reported the other day, and of all the, you know, I understand that my friend, not really my friends, but people on the left say, you know, they hate Fox News. Brett Baer, to me, has always been a fair and unbiased straight shooter.
Yeah, I agree.
And he comes up with a story that says foreign intelligence agencies may have hacked
right.
Hillary Clinton's email server, and that's the whole thing. If you don't have the homebrew server to hide your leverage game with the, you know, for the Clinton Foundation, then there's no problem. So really, this is Hillary's problem. It's all her. is it not?
It is. I mean, it's huge. And I do think people who support her just have blinders on. You know, they're not willing to believe a lot of the stories about her. They just keep returning to the atrocity of Trump. I mean, his own foundation was a train wreck. Right. I'm surprised there weren't maybe some investigations into that. He was taking foundation money and settling lawsuits with it.
Right. Yeah.
Totally shady and immoral. So both of them have this issue with their foundations. But it
and the other thing she tried to do was all the little, you know, the, what I call the courtiers. Courtiers? The French court at Versailles, which is what they are. A lot of defenders of Hillary on the liberal side. They're just like, they're pretending that they're standing outside. They're pretending that, oh, we're on the left, so we talk truth to power. But really, they're just rallying around this queen, this corruption, the establishment queen, and they're protecting her, which is the larger issue outside the details is that this is a recipe for disaster socially and politically for the Republic, because you have all these elites telling all the people they're stupid, and you have this game going on the inside being protected by the same people who are defining, meaning the media, defining what is right and wrong. This is a dangerous thing.
It scares me in the way that if Hillary wins, and I do believe probably the demographics show she will. I mean, I think that's a bit, I'll be surprised. I'll just say that if Trump pulls this off. But if you think secrecy and lack of transparency is a problem with the current White House, you just wait. You just wait. We are not going to know half of what goes on if Hillary Clinton is elected. They have mass. They are
you're
masters.
Just such a misogynist. you're a self-loathing woman.
I know. I get that all the time,
right?
From people. You know,
they do that.
People tweeting at me saying, you know, how could, what will you say to your grandchildren about, if you don't help elect the first woman? It's degrading and it's insulting, because I don't vote for people based on their body parts. I vote based on policy, and I don't agree with her policies. I just do not. So I don't know if I'm
going
to.
It's kind of sexist, isn't it, to assume that someone should vote for someone because of gender?
I think
to
it
me,
is.
To me, that's sexist.
I think it is, too. You're assuming that's all I take into account, is that she's a woman, and that I'm ignoring foreign policy, domestic policy, the national debt, and all of these issues that I think are really important to me as a voter. So,
what's important to me is that there's collapse of institutions that I see happen. Trust in the media is non-existent. You have Donna Brazil business with CNN is just one part of a larger problem where they hire these political consultants. They come. Fox does it. All the shows, all the spinning and lies, and telling people they're stupid or they're criminally insane to believe that there's corruption in the Hillary Clinton, you know, this administration or this group, when it's evident that there is corruption of astounding proportion. So what happens when the people look at the elites and realize the elites are just part of a massive deal, insider deal, kind of the way taxpayers looked at Rich Daley and that City Hall at the, you know, with the taxi cab, I mean, not taxi cab, with the
hired truck,
mm-hmm. And then later the parking meters.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, they reached, you know, they had to do the Charlie Rose Show flip right then because losing it. I see that happening in the whole country. And what's the protection? Gender? Is gender like the cross that you hold before the vampire to ward it off? I don't think so. I think it's dangerous. No? Am I nuts? Did I just ramble on like a psycho? Probably.
No.
Right? I just, the
no.
way you guys are looking at me like I'm a weirdo. What happened?
No,
what did
we're not,
I do?
No, I'm just processing everything that you said. And yes,
sorry.
People use the, if you criticize something with Hillary Clinton's policies or, you know, the latest, I think the latest string of emails that came out from the Podesta hack show that, you know, they were trying to change primary dates in all of these different states in order to encourage early voting and to manipulate the system. And then you have people criticizing Trump for calling it rigged. And you have people inside the campaign changing primary dates, which, by the way, we did here, too.
Right.
When Obama was first running, we bumped our primary up to early February in order to help him out. That's not a rigged system. I mean, come on.
I'll tell you what's another rigged system. Bruce Rauner, okay, line up all you little lefties who hate me anyway because of what I wrote about Hillary. And you know what they really hated was that Matt Drudge picked it up and Real Clear Politics picked it up. And everyone picked it up and went viral. What was it, Sunday's column?
Yeah.
And there were all these, like, fluttering their fingers were fluttering because the characterization was paper.
The newspaper asked for Hillary to step down,
The newspaper did not. I did not either. I said Democrats should tell Hillary to step down because she's
tainted
compromised.
She's compromised.
Because I don't want to see the President of the United States dragged through the mud again. Sorry. Is that like a Hillary hater? I don't think so. Anyway, so they all got upset and they wrote and they social media and they're all seething. And I forgot what the heck I was going to say. I was just getting into that whole thing.
Rauner, you mentioned.
Oh, yeah, Rauner.
What would you do without me over here to help you?
Awesome. So the Rauner thing. So here's the Rauner thing. Rauner does not like Trump. Everyone knows this. He does. He stayed away from Trump. All he said was, as the Republican governor, I will support
the nominee. Long before the nominee was Trump.
And that doesn't mean, and it doesn't mean that he actually is going out raising money for him or giving him money or anything, because he's not. Actually, he doesn't like him. Okay, fine.
He has criticized Trump over and over again. I mean,
so now the Democrats, in sort of like the most weasel move, are doing these grainy ads. I remember how they did that to Glenn Pichard, who was a Democrat, when they made him look like Hitler, and which led to George Ryan being president, being governor. And they're tying Rauner to Trump in order to save Mike Madigan's, Boss Madigan's, legislative seats. Mm-hmm. What say you?
Oh, they're doing both sides this cycle have done so many dirty tricks. The Democrats have done it longer, but the Republicans are starting to follow suit.
What good Republican dirty trick?
There's a race. Sam Yingling is a Democrat running for re-election, and they have a mailer out against him that sort of implies that he is a child molester.
Oh, boy. That's terrible.
Democrat,
though?
He's a Democrat, and the Republicans are financing these mailers against him.
State rep?
Yes. He's a House member. And
so he's supported Madigan?
Yes.
So
yes.
Too bad. I don't want the child molester thing, but he's a Madigan.
Well,
supporter.
Right.
But in terms
of ugliness in the campaigns, the Democrats have done this for the past couple of cycles where they just pull something out of thin air. They manipulate a voting record. They went after Leslie Munger, who is now the comptroller, when she was a state rep candidate. Mm-hmm. She ran for the Illinois House as a Republican. And they kind of implied that she supported child molesters being in schools. And the reason they came to that is because she was against unfunded mandates. She doesn't like the state government telling local school districts what they can and cannot do. So the Democrats stretched that into, oh, well, you must not like background checks then for school employees, which, of course, is wrong. But they ran ads against her kind of implying that she was sympathetic to sex offenders. It's just, it's ugly. It's disgusting.
McAuliffe race up north.
The McAuliffe race.
I'm getting calls from guys who are calling me saying, can you do something on this race? And here's the thing, guys. Don't call me with days to go before an election and say you're going to give me something. Because I don't care what party you're from.
Right.
I don't want to be that guy, that journalist, that runs that story about something right before the election.
Exactly. I kind of have a 3-week minimum rule on that. Because they just want something inaccurate to come out. They don't care if it's completely wrong. I think Trump has some new accusers today claiming that he sexually assaulted a teenage girl. I mean, come on.
Well, she's like 35 now.
Well, right. But the point
is, she was allegedly on
this days with before the same, election.
With the same, with Bill Clinton's buddy.
Epstein.
The guy who has that
Epstein.
Fantasy Island plane.
The Fantasy Island.
Right? Whatever
the
it's
plane,
called.
The
yeah,
plane.
The plane boss, right?
Jeffrey
whatever.
Epstein, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's
that's a little
at this point.
Lolita Express.
That's what it's called.
Right. Yeah. Throw that in there, too. Bill Clinton meeting with the top official of the Justice Department in the middle of all this. Can you on her private plane? I can't process. But anyway, back to dirtiness.
Steam, for those of you who are listening, steam just came out of Kristen's ears. she's on the verge.
I am, you guys. I'm about to crack. I at this point of the campaign season, I am literally
I want to say that I'm so disappointed with the amount of money that's being spent locally. Because usually in around an election election cycles, we kind of in Chicago get around, you know, we don't get bombarded with stuff too heavily. We get the occasional national ad, but there's so much money being spent in Illinois.
Wait, are you not in radio?
Well, right, but even
okay, when, the station I listen to, which happens to be one you work for, okay?
Right.
Along with many others, I listen to others too, sure. Right? In the morning,
mm-hmm.
before the Screamers get on another station with a White Sox fan who has a dry or acerbic tone of voice often. People are spending a lot of money on this.
Right,
stuff.
That's my point, is that this year it's just been, and it's been local stuff. It's been just so many ads locally being dumped on us, and they're all crap, and they all look the same, and it's driving me nuts. I mean, it used to be we get some Indiana ads here or there, so, you know, a big race in Indiana or Wisconsin, they'd buy mm-hmm. it, you know, Chicago market. But there was never a lot of money spent locally because there was just, people weren't, you know, Democrats were going to win. Didn't really matter. But now,
well, only they had the money.
Right.
Now they actually, Rauner is financing a bunch of little PACs and
it is
independent expenditures and
mind numbing.
Yeah, it you're right. I don't mind it though, because finally it's a level playing field.
Right.
You know, you actually have a Republican Party that has some money behind it. We'll see what they do.
You know, here's another thing. The stories that come out, Rauner to spend millions of dollars, right? Guess what? A lot of that's his own money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's raising it too, but he's putting his own cash in. And okay, so there's a couple billionaires that have money that are spending on politics. You know what? They could, Rauner and Griffin would be better served if they left and went to Belize and just chilled out and smoked pot and let the rest of us die here, right? I mean, let Mike Madigan sink his fangs into the taxpayers, every taxpayer, bleed us dry, and then what? Because that's what this is about.
Well, and I make this distinction, and maybe, and if I'm being unfair, please call me out
on it.
Yeah,
I would,
but,
definitely.
I see some of the money, not all of it, but some of the money from those big funders on the Republican side as being policy driven. They are trying to elect people in the state to drive a different policy agenda, not to empower themselves, not to enrich themselves. I mean, Bruce Rauner doesn't even take a salary, and you can roll your eyes and say he's a billionaire. He shouldn't anyway, but he's literally volunteering basically for this
right.
job. And I just see him as not necessarily trying to build this little machine for himself.
No.
His agenda has always been about making Illinois more business friendly, trying to stem the flow of everyone fleeing the state. It's a policy agenda. And I'm not sure I see that on the Democratic side. What's their policy agenda?
The trial
outside
lawyers.
Of protecting themselves, keeping supermajorities in the House and Senate.
Trial lawyers.
Keeping certain issues off the policy agenda, you know, like caps and
workman's comp,
things that just about everyone in the legislature, Democrats included, right. say we need tougher workers' compensation laws. You have people who can get injured on the way to work, or, you know, you don't have to prove your injury
is
at work.
Even the labor bosses know this.
Oh, they know it.
And
of course
tell
they
you,
know it.
They say so, you know, privately, but they're also locked policy.
Well, right. But so I see the Democratic money, as just protecting the status quo, not trying to move a policy agenda.
Here's my public service ad, okay? And I will make it. I made it in the paper, but maybe I got to make it again. It's real simple. Personalities have nothing to do with. If you vote for Mike Madigan, if you vote for a Democrat running for state rep, or if you vote for a Democrat running for state senate, all you're really doing is voting for Mike Madigan and his mini-me, John Cullerton, to be the bosses of them. It's really that simple. I don't know. People don't understand this. There's some nonsense where some Democrats say, I'm independent Democrat. Really? You're an independent Democrat, but they're walking you door to door throughout your district. This is not, I'm not trying to side with the Republicans. I'm just saying this is the fact of life.
There's no such thing, you're saying, as an independent Democrat in this state if you are going to go down to Springfield and elect Madigan as Speaker.
No, and there's a lot of BS about how, you know, they talk as if we're independent, I'm independent. Really, Dan?
You always pick on Dan Biss.
Well, I don't know who endorsed him, right? I think he was endorsed, wasn't he?
He doesn't have a challenger this time.
He doesn't have a challenger?
In the fall. So
I just remember Nussman, Biss, and some others years ago when I was doing a column on this. Oh, I'm independent.
And none of them called you back. I remember that column.
Right? When you say you're independent to me and then you play that game, I'm not gonna. You think what? Well, this is like the Irish Alzheimer's. It's like Greek Alzheimer's. we forget, but we don't forgive, or whatever that is, right?
Forgive everybody. Yep.
You know, I'm.
Jeff just mumbled something and then I coughed.
Said, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm 3% Greek. Remember my DNA?
Right.
My dad did a DNA test and he came back a little
sister.
Greek. So I have to, you know, learn how to light cheese on fire and such things.
Melt it. Opa.
I think we should wrap things up here because next week when we talk, we'll have decided an election. But one thing is true. The Cubs will be the World Series champions.
Right, I'm going to let you have it.
You take it away, man.
Till next week. The Chicago A. Thanks, Kristen McQuarrie. And, of course, John Cass and all fans of all sports teams out there.
And the Fire.
Oh, go Cubs, go.